As the Metropolitan, I've come across many different people in our metropolis and outside of our metropolis in different countries as well, and have come to know certain people who have been healed of different maladies. Particularly hearing this gospel passage, two different types of healings come to mind. First, we've seen people who have been delivered from certain death with no trace of their illness. And the other type is when we've come across people who have forgotten about God in their lives, have come across difficult periods in their lives when they would come down with some serious illness, which is unto death. And in the midst of this serious illness, they would find God. In their desperation, they did not know where else to go. And in that case, the people really did die from their sickness. And the question is, which of these two is the greater miracle? The greater miracle is certainly the person who found God in his sickness. That seems strange for the worldly mind, for the worldly-minded type of a person, because the worldly type of a person does not see beyond the grave. He is bogged down to the things of the earth. But the faith comes from heaven. Our Lord comes from heaven. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything else comes from the earth. Religions which try to present themselves as simple for people. But the message of our Lord is not exactly so simple. He does say that my burden is light. He does say broad is the way to. He talks about the way to life and the way to death. And the way is easy if we are focused. It becomes easier. Especially in the very beginning of the spiritual battle, things are very difficult. But after a while, since God is working with the person is growing spiritually, it becomes easier because the person has a better focus. So we've seen people who have been healed of their physical maladies, and at the same time being healed of their spiritual maladies. We've seen people who have been healed of their physical maladies and shortly thereafter have forgotten about God. And we have seen people who have found God in the midst of their maladies. What could be greater than to be with our Lord forever? It just takes a little bit of reasoning, a little bit of logic to realize that this is a very short period of time in comparison with eternity. And it takes faith. So in the midst of the difficult trials that our Lord sends to people, if they are acting as they should be, if they are giving thanks to God, if they are being patient, they will learn a lot of things. And then they will discover that these things which we read in the scriptures, and these things which we hear are actually true, because our Lord will verify them for us over and over until it becomes abundantly clear. And so today we have the gospel reading concerning the paralytic who was paralyzed for 38 years. That's a very long time if we think about things in terms of our earthly life. And he was by the Sheepsgate pool, where once a year an angel would descend and trouble the waters. And whosoever stepped into the waters, the first person who stepped into the waters after the troubling of the water, would be made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So this paralytic man was waiting and waiting. And waiting. and our Lord visited him. In the service last night, there was a beautiful phrase which is full of meaning, and it has to do with the question of our Savior and the answer of the paralytic. Many times we've said that our Lord tries to initiate a dialogue with us so that we can start praying. He speaks to us because he wants us to respond to him. And we know that our Lord respects our freedom. He doesn't want anybody by compulsion to be, he doesn't want anybody to be forced to be loving him, because that wouldn't be real love. So it takes some work to love someone the way that you should. And he asks the man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be healed? And the man answers, "Sir," or "Lord," because the Greek word kyrie can mean sir, it can mean lord, it can mean mister. "Sir, I have no man to put me into the water after the troubling of the water," because he's a paralytic, he needs help. "Before I get there, somebody else steps in and gets healed." "Sir, I have no man." And the beautiful hymn last night says, "What do you mean you have no man? For your sake I became a man." Our Lord became man for the broken, for the sick, for the ailing. He came to heal. He came to deliver the demoniacs. He came to bring life. So you cannot say, "I have no man." And so our Lord heals the person. And he says, "Take up thy bed and walk." And of course, the Jews who had rejected our Savior had a problem with the miracle. This is how darkened they were. They said, "You're not supposed to pick up your bed on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to work. That's the rule." They were so stuck on the rules, they didn't understand the essence, the spirit. And I'm very sorry to say there are many Christians like this today. They hear this over and over, and yet they still don't understand what's behind the rules. They're so focused on the rule, they don't understand the purpose of the rule, that it's a means to an end, and not the end. And so in the midst of these rules, they lose focus, and then they go off track. And that's what happened to these Pharisees and scribes. The scribes were educated. Lawyers were educated. They studied the law. But they did not really understand. And so now our Savior heals them, tells them to take up his bed and walk, and the Jews asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And he says, "The man who healed me told me to do it." And our Lord then, on another occasion, sees this man and says, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more." Now he's focusing on the spiritual. So many other miracles, he starts off with the spiritual. "Thy sins are forgiven thee." But you see, he deals with people in different ways because everybody is very different. So he healed this man first, and then he told him, "Sin no more, lest the greater evil come upon thee." Let's think about the fact that he was there for 38 years, waiting. People are very impatient. People are very impatient. It's a big problem. It's a big problem because it adds to our problems. If we have faith, and we put everything into perspective, and we go on God's timetable and not ours, and we realize that God's in charge and not us, we wouldn't get so frustrated after just a few weeks, perhaps, or just a few days of prayer. This man prayed for 38 years. He was patient for 38 years. Why so long, one might ask? In the midst of this process, a lot takes place. The person is in need of learning a lot of lessons so that he can see himself, so that he can get out of his own delusions, his own false impressions of who he really is, of reality. How many of the saints prayed that they would endure temptation? In fact, we even read in the Gerontikon that there was someone who asked to be delivered from his temptations, and once he was delivered, he said, God, please give me back my temptations. Because if you take away temptation, you take away salvation. God is reshaping us in his image and likeness in the midst of the temptations, in the midst of the difficulties. How are we going to behave? The smallest little temptation becomes for a person such a totally blown out of proportion thing. Foolishness, absolute foolishness, spiritual foolishness. The smallest little temptation can become so huge. There are a lot of people who are struggling with a lot of greater temptations. Imagine being a paralytic. Not an easy thing. Imagine not being able to use your body the way you want to. And yet in our minds, the smallest little temptations get blown out of proportion. So this person was visited by God with his illness, and he was visited by God with the healing. The sickness was God's visitation in order to work with the person, to help the person, so that the person can grow in understanding himself and understanding God. And at the time of the visitation of our Lord, 38 years later, he was ready. It took 38 years in his case. So as we said at the beginning of this homily, more importantly, the most important are the spiritual healings. We've seen people who have been healed from their physical ailments, but the real miracle is when we see people being healed of their spiritual ailments. People who have forgotten totally about God, and then they see the purpose of their illness, the purpose of that trial in their lives, and they discover God. And there can be no greater thing, there could be no more beautiful thing in the life of every Christian. We need to discover God. There are people also who have been going to church for years, but who still have not discovered God. It's not as simple as walking into church, making the sign of the cross, and lighting a candle and venerating the icons. It goes beyond that. In your patience, possess your soul, says our Lord. If we're not patient, how are we worthy of him? We won't be worthy of him. In every trial, in every difficulty, in every sickness, let us have the image of the cross right in front of us. And let us hear the voice of our Lord, who has spoken to many of the righteous. I have endured this for you. Can you not endure your smaller, much more smaller in comparison, temptation for me? Or actually even for you? For as St. Macarius of Egypt says, God did all this for you, and you can't struggle for your own self? God doesn't need your struggle, you need it. So in the hymnology of the church, we hear the kontakion, my soul is palsied and paralyzed, O Lord, raise me up as thou didst once the paralytic. And this hymn we also chant at the unction service. It's one of the compunctioned hymns that we need to connect to. We need to open our ears when we chant the hymns of the church. We're supposed to be contemplating them, word for word. We're not supposed to be distracted so easily with the things of this life. If we hear these things, blessed are we. These are the words of life which our Lord tells us. These are the words of salvation. May our Lord grant unto us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, so that we don't get so fooled. Let us not get so fooled easily by the evil one. There is a battle that goes on. And it started at the time of our holy ancestors, and at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. So we will have to take up our cross and follow Christ. We heard St. Simeon the New Theologian tell us that now we have so many weapons which the Jews did not have. The chosen race before the coming of our Savior did not have all the weapons that we have today. Let us take those weapons. Let us take advantage of them and be wise. Patience. In your patience, possess your souls. All good things come with patience. After 38 years, this paralytic was healed. May God grant unto us patience, because at the end of the struggle, when we will be liberated, we will breathe a breath of relief. And we will be so thankful that our Lord helped us to be patient through whatever trial it was. But now and here, since we are still in the battlefield, let us pray that our Lord grant unto us patience to endure the temptations and to understand that they're not as huge as we may think they are. And let us not be foolish into being tempted by such small, little, insignificant temptations. But let us pick up our cross, prove ourselves to be Christians, and let us thank our Lord for whatever it is that He sends us, knowing that all things work for our salvation. Glory be to our God, who sends us all things for our own good. Amen.